Bowl Feature, an auditory deep dive.
Few sectors are so heavily subsidised by the EU as agriculture. But what do people actually get for this public money, apart from cheaper food? Couldn't the billions of euros spent on the EU's common agricultural policy be put to better use? Like producing food with fewer toxic pesticides. Germany now has a bigger say in how that money can be spent. But is the German government actually seizing the opportunity to cut the use of pesticides? And how could this be achieved? In this episode, we investigate what options politicians actually have to respond to the demands of NGOs. Silent Spring, Part 3. What are the prospects for pesticide policy?
I'm back in Brussels. The weather has turned cold now. It's grey and gloomy on this winter morning in November. At one of the busiest crossings in the Belgian capital, I start chatting to a young man.
How old are you?
Okay. My name is Simon. I'm 23. Okay. And I'm from France.
Ah, from France. Yeah. Cool.
I ask the student how important pesticide reduction is to him.
The reduction, or you can completely delete it. I think it's possible. You can delete it. You can. There is very many ways to do other than using this pesticide. So think, just think more, look for everything. It's not so complicated if you really want to try it. But for reason of economical stuff, I think it's easier for them to do this like that.
Personal healthy food is important for you? It's a good quality of food?
Oh, yeah, the good quality is very important. I mean, when you have the money.
Sirens from passing police cars interrupt our conversation for a moment.
Looking for this climate change and that biodiversity, are these important issues for you?
I don't see a good thing for the future, but for my opinion, I think it's a bit too late.
Has the 23-year-old already given up hope for the future? Is it really too late, as he says? One thing is certain. His generation is being forced to shoulder too many major burdens. Why didn't the European Union embrace more sustainable agricultural practices in the past? It certainly wasn't due to a lack of funding. Far from it. The EU Common Agricultural Policy, short CAP, makes up the biggest slice of the European budget. Agriculture has long been subsidized to the tune of more than 50 billion euros a year. More and more Europeans are keen to see public money being used for the public good. They are no longer content with mass-produced cheap food that comes at such an environmental price. But what role do EU agricultural subsidies play? Couldn't that money be used to bring about change? After all, a new CAP has just been agreed. BirdLife Europe is located just outside Brussels' European Quarter and has partnerships with an array of environmental organizations.
And over the years, they have managed to stall almost any attempt to improve European agricultural policy from an environmental point of view. We've had 30 years, basically, of attempts to reform the European Common Agricultural Policy.
Ariel Brunner is frustrated. He coordinates EU policy for BirdLife Europe. He is frustrated with the way that the EU has subsidized farming in the past. In 2021, the EU earmarked 168.5 billion euros for the sector. In 2021, CAP represented 33.1% of the total EU budget.
All of those reform attempts have been systematically blocked, delayed, watered down, weakened by this very powerful and very, very effective lobby. So there is no doubt that the intensive farm lobby is one of the most powerful lobbies in the EU. It is really led by the mainstream farm unions that are grouped in the Copa Cogeca Federation. And the farm unions, of course, also are very closely related, let's put it that way, to the rest of the agro-industry.
Together with the agro-industrial lobby, the farming union is standing in the way of a speedy reduction of pesticides.
We are spending 50 billion euros a year of EU budget, plus another huge chunk from national budgets. This is all money that could help farmers go through the ecological transition that they just have to go through in order to survive in the coming decades in the face of climate change and everything else that is happening. And it could help us reward those farmers that are actually delivering the so-called public goods.
Shouldn't taxpayers' money be more closely linked to achieving environmental benefits, ones that everyone profits from in the end?
If you have birds on your land, nobody pays you for the birds. People pay you for the wheat and for the milk. So there is a case for society to pay you for the stewardship of the land. Instead, most of that money is going into pushing people ever more into harmful intensification. A lot of the money is simply wasted, and quite a lot of it is still going to actively supporting the destruction of nature.
But Brunner has more to say. The madness of the common agricultural policy does not stop there. Despite the EU spending billions of euros, many European farmers are quitting the business. The result is bigger farms and more monoculture and agricultural intensification. From the statistics, it's obvious that the large-scale farms in the European Union are profiting the most.
It is really important to understand that when you look at the common agricultural policy, the money tells a story. About a third of the money goes to 1.5% of the beneficiaries. Mm. So 1.5% of the farmers take more than a third of the money. Mm-hmm. And 80% of the money goes to the top 20%. So this is a system that delivers a lot of public money into very, very few pockets.
Size is key when it comes to funding. Those who own the most land get the most money.
And it's very telling and very disturbing that if there is one element that has been completely constant in every debate on agricultural policy over the last decades, has been the opposition by COPA and by most of the national farm unions that are members of COPA, their opposition to any kind of redistribution of CAP money. Mm-hmm. Whether it's moving the subsidies from richer to poorer countries, or from richer to poorer farmers, or from big to small, or from unsustainable to sustainable, intensive to extensive. The constant mantra is no redistribution, which is quite striking, because you would expect that because the subsidies are so unevenly distributed, redistribution almost by definition would be good for the majority of farmers and bad for a small minority of farmers. And yet the organizations that in theory speaks on behalf of all farmers are always against redistribution. So that's a bit of a litmus test to what is really happening behind the scenes.
Over the decades, this trend has led to an increasing monopolization of agriculture. Big farms have profited. For smaller ones, profitability is harder and harder to attain. But farmers' representatives back that trend.
That's very clear. The most of the big farm unions are defending this model of relentless intensification, which, apart from wiping out biodiversity and creating a lot of other environmental problems, is also wiping out farmers. Farmers in Europe are locked into this downward spiral where there's too much production, too low prices, and then people need to produce even more individually. And because everybody produces more individually, you have even more production and even lower prices. And to keep that rat race going, people need to keep borrowing money, so they sink deeper into debt. And the more indebted they are, and the more they are controlled by the banks on the other side, and on the other side, the people selling them all the intensification means that they need in order to pay the debt. And it's really a downward spiral that is going nowhere, but it goes nowhere for the majority of farmers. It goes somewhere very specific for the people that run the system.
The common agricultural policy is an important piece in the puzzle when it comes to understanding what's going on in European agriculture. One thing was agreed in lengthy negotiations. In future, member states should have more say over agricultural spending. How is that affecting Germany? Germany's agriculture ministry is now being led for the first time by the Greens. I talked to Sylvia Bender, Ministry State Secretary.
Als neue Bundesregierung unterstützen wir die
The new German government supports the European Commission's ambitious reduction targets. In our opinion, it's important and right to reduce the use of pesticides by 50%. The context is, of course, above all, the dramatic decline in biodiversity, one of the two big ecological crises that we are facing right now. The biodiversity crisis is just as big as it threatens the functioning of our ecosystems. We need them for humankind to be able to continue living on this planet. We know that the use of pesticides is a driver for the loss of biodiversity, of species in the agricultural landscape, and that's why it's imperative to reduce their use.
At least the German Agriculture Ministry has recognized the danger that we could soon reach a tipping point in the loss of biodiversity. It's only logical that without pollinators like bumblebees and honeybees, there will be no harvests. Nevertheless, there is resistance to change.
Von Seiten der Agrarlobby gibt es definitiv einen harten Gegenwind.
There's definitely a lot of pushback from the side of the agricultural lobby. The Ukraine war is being used to roll back the small steps made towards more sustainability envisaged by the new reform of European agricultural policy. 2 days after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the agricultural lobby organizations demanded that the areas set aside for ecological benefit across Europe, the biodiversity areas, should now be used for farming. That shows simply how very well organized the agricultural lobby is. It pulls together right across Europe.
And yet a crisis like the war in Ukraine could also have the potential to speed up the transformation in the agriculture sector. This much-invoked turning point has made it apparent that the business-as-usual approach won't work for a number of reasons.
Wichtig ist auch in dem Zusammenhang, dass Pestizide
In this context, it's also important to realize that not using pesticides does not mean abandoning crop protection. There are many other options for taking action, for example, with mechanical processes, but also better crop rotations, the use of beneficial organisms. There are other ways of implementing crop protection. It's important for ensuring that we have a good yield in the end. And here we'll support agriculture, give advice, boost investment, so the sector can embark on this course.
So what role could the new Common Agricultural Policy play here? After all, it started at the beginning of 2023 and is due to run for 4 years to 2027.
Germany's CAP strategic plan was approved by the European Commission in November 2022. Almost 2.4 billion euros of funding for organic farming. The CAP plan should help create more than 20,000 new jobs and help 40,000 rural businesses.
It remains to be seen whether these amounts of money are enough for farmers to get involved voluntarily to a sufficient extent in organic farming and use fewer pesticides. But what do the big farmers' lobby groups have to say about the EU Commission's pesticide reduction targets?
Also wir sehen diesen Vorschlag zur sogenannten Sustainable Use Directive, so heißt das ja.
We are critical of this proposal regarding the Sustainable Use Directive. To put it briefly, this proposal would mean a de facto ban on arable farming for these regions and areas of land.
That's Bernhard Krüsken, the Secretary General of the German Farmers Association, the DBV for short. He appears a long way away from embarking on the course towards transformation envisaged by the European Commission, possibly unlike some farmers who are members of the DBV. But what exactly does Krüsken mean by critical?
Jetzt fragen Sie natürlich, was
If the Commission's proposal was implemented to the letter, then it would mean a de facto ban on arable farming.
And of course, in times like these, when there are food shortages and serious price rises, then it would be a dire signal, one which, in our opinion, points in precisely the wrong direction.
Signals in the wrong direction? So what would the German Farmers Association propose instead?
This proposal is, and you can read that between the lines everywhere, solely carried by the basic idea that we should somehow have less, or best of all, not have any crop protection at all. And let me put it like this. With this sweeping reduction target, the Commission is, to some extent, indulging in political trophy hunting. Having purely tunnel vision about pesticides does not solve the biodiversity issue.
Political trophy hunting and tunnel vision. Bernhard Krisken, General Secretary of the German Farmers Association, has more to add.
What can we do instead to further reduce the use of pesticides, in particular critical pesticides? There we believe very strongly in adopting technology, things like spot spraying, application only on partial areas, better nozzles, technology. Or there are digital systems which are hooked up to real-time pest detection and dose and apply the substance accordingly.
Up to now, studies show that neither the new technology in agricultural digitalization nor the use of so-called new gene technology have led to a significant reduction of synthetic chemicals on fields internationally. I'm back on the train on my way to the Dessau offices of Germany's Environment Agency. Can state-employed environmentalists confirm these scientific fears? Jörn Vogram wants to bring me up to speed. I meet him in the big airy hall of the federal agency. Vogram says that simply too little has happened, and whenever something has happened, it's hardly had any or not enough impact.
Ja, zunächst mal ist es bemerkenswert, dass die Europäische Kommission...
Firstly, it is noteworthy that the European Commission itself ascertained in an audit process that the political efforts in the EU to reduce agricultural dependence on pesticides and lower the risks for people and the environment have not really worked out so far. That's why the European Commission finds it necessary to pass a new law, a new directive, which dictates the reduction of chemical pesticide usage in member states.
But the dual strategy that's been chosen is required.
Solely by expanding organic farming and increasing that sector's share of the area farmed, we will probably not be able to achieve the reduction targets we have been talking about, halving the pesticides used by 2030. That's why the European Commission has also stipulated that less pesticides should be used in conventional farming.
For Bernhard Krisken, Secretary General of the German Farmers Association, these measures are too drastic. He favors a voluntary approach.
Many farmers say, we are trying to meet the reduction target. We want to use less. We will also continue this reduction. But you cannot do it with a regulatory political lawnmower. You have to go for technology and efficiency, and of course, incentives to some extent.
But how much credence should we give to these political statements? Back in Brussels, it seems the debate about pesticide reduction has only just begun. The situation remains nail-biting. Will glyphosate's license be renewed again this summer? And will there be mandatory reduction figures in the pesticide sector at some point? Many people are skeptical, including Marilda Daskali from the NGO BirdLife Europe. Even the first steps toward a sustainable use of pesticides are not really working, even though the EU passed those measures a long time ago.
Integrated pest management was already mandatory since 2014. Yeah. And when you see what are the member states that have applied it, that have enforced it, none of it has done it. So the problem is that we need to begin to implement this integrated pest management. And it's a different... It means that the whole agriculture system has to shift in a certain way. We cannot do any more business as usual. And we cannot replace the pesticides, the synthetic pesticides, with the biological control as such. We need to think and overhaul the whole system. And this is what it's frightening, I think, so far, the member states and the agri ministries.
So what do you think will happen now?
The thing is that what we have seen so far is the council is trying to delay the work on the SOAR proposal, on the commission's proposal. They are asking for an impact assessment, and we know that this is a way of them to delay this file and to leave it for the next elections, for the next European Commission and Parliament.
The next European Parliament election is not until May 2024. And it remains to be seen whether a new European Commission will retain the Green Deal, the farm-to-fork strategy. In the European Parliament, I meet Green MEP Martin Häusling. He is also a farmer, and he sits on the Parliament's Environment and Agriculture Committees.
Ja, die Kommission hat viele umweltpolitisch relevante Geschichten zurückgestellt.
If we turn back the clock in the agricultural sector so that everything comes under the heading of food security, then we have to be clear in our minds that food security here in Europe means 60% of the grain goes into feeding livestock, 20% into the fuel tank in industry, and only 20% is used to feed us. To then say, we have to intensify the system, that's quite a catastrophe in terms of environmental policy.
A catastrophe for the environment. But many EU citizens would also like to see changes in the use of pesticides. In fact, many people here are expecting something to change in the pesticide sector soon, says Marilda Daskali.
I think the citizens are ready to have less pesticides, to have less pollution in their environments. But there is a gap, there is a discrepancy between what the citizens want and how the politics react and what they put in place.
And that's risky for democracy as well?
Exactly, exactly. And then they do exactly the opposite. So for me, there is a big problem also in the governance and the way we are putting in place democracy in Europe. But yeah, I hope that in the future politicians will listen more to their voters and to the citizens than to the vested interest of the agri lobbies.
I ask Nina Holland from the lobby watchdog organization Corporate Europe Observatory what she thinks has to happen if the Green Deal promised by the European Commission is to be saved.
I do think that public pressure is essential. If the EU institutions and the national governments do not have the impression that people are watching and that media is scrutinizing them, then there will be less pressure on them to move. So we need to be very vigilant that there will be a proposal, that there will be an ambitious proposal that is solid without loopholes. And then there will need to be, very many organizations active at the national level to check on, hold their own governments to account, check on their governments, what are they doing? Are they following a due democratic process in order to decide their position? Because I think very often people don't know what their governments are deciding in Brussels. And often there's a lot of opacity. A lot of the times governments are hiding behind Brussels to say, well, it wasn't my fault, you know. But in the meantime, inside, indoors, they vote in a certain way. So that will be really crucial, is public scrutiny and mobilization in order to make this happen.
Silent Spring, Part 3. Where does pesticide policy go from here? A three-part Böll special from the Heinrich Böll Foundation. This was a podcast created by Peter Kreisler. The commissioning editor was Lena Luig. It was translated and spoken by Julie Gregson and Warner Poland, with music from Zoe Kating and sound mixing by Monobeat. You can find all Heinrich Böll Foundation podcasts on your preferred podcast app. Subscribe to our podcast and spread the word. If you have any comments or feedback about this podcast, please email us at podcast@boell.de.